Greetings, friends, and welcome to another hour of holiday entertainment as we gather again around the old part of the radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I welcome you to the program. Well, it's Easter Sunday today, if you're listening to the program on a Sunday, so happy Easter to you. Today, we're going to hear two great Easter-themed episodes from two different radio plays. First up, the Jack Benny program, which was broadcast from May 2, 1932 until June 22, 1958. Jack Benny records several Easter programs, and this one titled Jack and Mary Walk in the Easter Parade first aired on Easter Sunday, April 13, 1952 at 7 p.m. on CBS. Let's join the parade and walk along with them.
Lucky Strike presents the Jack Benny program.
Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Solaris, Rochester, Dennis Day, the Sportsman Quartet, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's Easter Sunday, and in cities all over the country, people are Easter parading. Right now in Beverly Hills, Jack is getting ready for his stroll down Wilshire Boulevard. The moment he's taking a shower and Rochester is laying out his clothes.
Mr. Benny's been in that shower a long time. Well, he always stays in there pretty long. He'd get through sooner if he'd sing in the shower like everybody else instead of playing his violin. Well, I'd better lay out his clothes.
Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
I'm through with my shower. Bring me a nice big towel.
The biggest towel we have is the one you took from the Acme Plaza Hotel.
Well, bring me that.
I can't. It's still on the roller.
Well, bring me any towel. I'm cold.
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thank you. Here, Rochester, hang my violin on the line. Professor LeBlanc has given me a lesson tomorrow.
Yes, sir. You want your clothes now, boss?
Just my shorts. I'm going to do my exercises.
Here you are. You've really been doing your exercise regularly, haven't you?
That's right, Rochester. I want to look nice and trim on my TV show next Sunday. Well, I'll start with my bending exercises. One, two, three, and four. Bend down, touch the floor. Lift my arms up in the air.
Bend down, pick up your hair.
Oh, yeah. Gee, that's hard to bend down like that. Oh, boy.
Now for your knee bends. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go.
Yeah.
Down, up. Down, up. Down, up. Down, up, 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 up. Congratulations, boss. You made it.
Yeah, that's enough for today. I better get dressed, and I think I'll wear my blue suit today.
That ought to look swell. I'll get it for you.
Good. And Rochester, while I finish dressing, look through my closet, see if any of my clothes need to be sent to the cleaners.
Yes, sir. But what about this gray suit, boss?
I don't know. How does it look to you?
Well, it's got a gravy stain on the sleeve, salad dressing on the pants, butter on the cuff, coffee on the lapel, and meat sauce all over the vest.
It has?
Yeah, shall I send it to the cleaners or put it in the refrigerator?
Send it to the cleaners. But first, Rochester, first go through the pockets and make sure I didn't leave any money in it.
Oh, boss, calm down.
Never mind, just do it. Well, I'm all dressed, Rochester. How do I look?
Fine, but you'd better put your glasses on.
Oh, I'm not going to wear my glasses today. They make me look old.
But you don't see too well without them.
Rochester, I just wear my glasses for reading. Now, let's see. I think I'll take a... I'll get it. Oh, hello, Phil.
I'm Mary.
Oh. Oh, happy Easter, Mary. Well, I'm ready to go walking if you are.
Okay. Aren't you going to say anything about my new dress?
Say, it's very pretty. Hey, Mary, isn't it kind of daring?
No, Jack, it's been a style for a couple of years. It's called a plunging neckline.
Oh, oh.
All the girls will be wearing them today.
They will?
Yes.
Rochester, bring my glasses. Thanks. Come on, Mary. Let's go to the boulevard and stroll in the Easter parade. Gee, there are a lot of people on Wilshire Boulevard, aren't there, Mary?
Yeah, and everybody's dressed so nice.
Well, so are you. Gee, that new hat you're wearing is really cute. Where'd you get it?
The May Company. They give me all my clothes.
The May Company gives you your clothes? Gee, that's funny. You've been working for me for the past 15 years.
I know. They send me food, too.
Oh, well, that's nice of them.
Say, Jack, how far do you think we ought to walk?
Oh, I don't know. Probably as far as La Brea, and then we'll...
Oh, Jack, look who's coming this way. Isn't that one of the boys in your Beavers Club?
Oh, yes. Hello, Joey.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Joey. Say, that's a mighty cute rabbit you have there.
Yes, it's my Easter bunny. I'm taking him over to Mr. Benny's house to feed him.
To my house to feed him? Why?
My father says you've got more lettuce than anyone in Beverly Hills.
Did you just get this rabbit, Joey?
Oh, no. I got him last Easter. In fact, I had two of them.
Come on, Mary. Let's go.
Just a minute, Jack. What happened to your other rabbit, Joey?
I don't know. He just disappeared around Christmas time.
Mary, let's go.
Joey, exactly when did your other rabbit disappear?
It was, December the 23rd.
Well, thanks for telling me. Goodbye, Joey.
Goodbye, Miss Livingston. Goodbye, Mr. Banks.
Goodbye, goodbye. You know, Mary...
Oh, quiet. You and your mink Christmas present.
That was just a coincidence. I happen to get a mink with pink eyes. Oh, say, Mary. Mary, look at that billboard. Opening April 21st at the Philharmonic, Julie Garland and her Variety Review. You know, Mary, strolling down the boulevard today reminds me of that picture we saw a couple of years ago with Judy and Fred Astaire.
Oh, you mean Easter Parade?
Yeah, that's the one. Remember at the start of the picture when Fred was walking along Fifth Avenue singing that song and the people answered him? How did that song go again?
Never saw such a lovely day. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's such fun just to nod and say Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
My, oh me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue. And you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Isn't it nice, Mary? They all answered us. Just like they did in the picture.
Yeah.
Say, Mary, look. There's Phil Harris standing on the corner.
Are you sure?
Well, he's standing, but I think it's him. Yes, it is.
You're right. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Livy, you little Easter bunny. Who's that egg you got with you?
Darn it, I forgot to take off my bathing cap. Say, Phil, Mary and I are strolling down Wilshire. Want to join us?
No, Jackson, no. The Chamber of Commerce wants me to stand here till another bus comes by.
Another bus?
Yeah, I'm the grand finale of the 95-cent tour.
What?
Them out-of-towners go nuts.
Oh, brother.
Phil, aren't you a little conceited?
Nah. Conceit is when you think you got it and you ain't.
Phil, and you've got it?
Well, I must have, Jackson. They want me to run for president on the prohibition ticket.
Mary, you talk to him, will you? I can't.
Look, Phil, Jack and
Step back, Libby. Here comes another busload of tourists. I got to take a bow.
Hmm.
Phil, Jack and I are going for a walk. Do you want to join us or not?
I'd love to, Mary, but some of my musicians are going to pick me up. They have a little card game, and they need a fifth for bridge.
Phil, you mean a fourth for bridge.
No, a fifth. They play, and I pour. Oh, Harris, you can always depend on a feed line from that gray-haired gentleman with the button shoe.
Come on, Mary, let's go.
All right. So long, Phil.
Hey, so long, Livia. See you later.
Come on, Dollface. We got a long way to walk yet. Walking with you side by side. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Fills my chest with so much pride. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Why, oh me, there's so much to sing as you stroll the avenue.
And you greet all the friends you meet. Happy Easter to you. Gosh, what perfect weather. Spring, the skies are clear, the flowers are blooming, the sun is shining. Hey, look who's here, my violin teacher.
Bonjour, Monsieur Benny.
Well, Professor LeBlanc, what a surprise running into you.
Hello, Professor.
Bonjour, Mademoiselle.
Well, Professor, you certainly look nice today. Is that a new Easter suit you're wearing?
Mademoiselle, I am a poor violin teacher. I cannot afford to buy new suits.
Well, what do you do with the money I pay you for my violin lesson?
I buy sleeping pills.
Oh, are they any good?
No. After a few days, I wake up.
Oh, well, it was nice seeing you, Professor. And don't forget, you're giving me a violin lesson tomorrow.
I will not forget. I will tie a string around my finger.
Good, good.
Better I should tie a rope around my neck.
What?
Goodbye, Monsieur Benny.
Goodbye, goodbye. I can't understand why he hates to give me violin lessons.
I can't understand it either. You played beautifully.
Well, I... Huh? Mary, that was sweet. What made you say that?
Oh, I don't know. Just an impulse. Yesterday, I kicked a cop in the pants.
Sometimes you have to let yourself go, you know. Anyway, Mary, we're certainly running into a lot of people we know, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yum bum 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 ba bum ba bum. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yum bum 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 ba bum ba bum. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Why, oh me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue. And you greet all the friends you meet. Happy Easter to you.
You know, Gertrude, it's nice getting a day off.
It sure is nice. Well, getting away from that CBS switchboard.
Yeah. Oh, Gertrude, I feel so elegant walking in the Easter parade. How do you feel?
My feet are killing me. But it's my own fault for buying such small shoes.
Well, what size did you get?
9.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What's the matter?
Getting your foot in a size 9 shoe is like docking the Queen Mary in a Dixie cup.
Oh, look who's talking. Get a load of your shoes.
They're not so big.
They're not. Last year, when we went on our vacation, every hotel we stopped at pasted labels on them.
Well, it's a natural mistake because my shoes are genuine cowhide.
Cowhide?
Yes.
From the way your toes stick out, it looks like milking time.
Talk to me like that.
Oh, I'll... hey, Mabel, look. Here comes Jack Benny.
Yeah. And look who's with him. Mary Livingston.
Mabel, they're coming toward us.
Yum, bum, 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 ba, bum, ba, bum. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yum, dum, dum, da, da, dum, ba, bum. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. My, oh, me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue.
you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Well, Don Wilson.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Mary.
Don, I'm glad I ran into you. You know that story about me in the current issue of Radio Television Mirror?
Oh, yes.
Well, that same reporter came back to see me yesterday, and he wanted to get some information about you.
Oh, really, Jack?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Jack, it's nice of you to tell me this. I feel flattered. What'd the reporter want to know?
Well, he wanted to know different things, like what you eat for breakfast, what you eat for lunch, what you eat for dinner, what you have for dessert, what you have after dessert, what you eat between meals, what you eat before going to bed at night, all those different things.
Well, that's nice, Jack, but didn't he want to know anything about my work on your program?
Yes, he did, Don. He thought that my last couple of shows weren't quite as funny as usual. He wanted to know if you ate one of my writers.
Oh, Jack, I know you're kidding, but I wish you'd stop with that talk. You're always giving everybody the impression I'm fat.
All right, Don, I'll stop joking about your size.
Say, Don, would you like to walk down Wilshire Boulevard with us?
Oh, I'd love to, Mary, but I'm on the other side of the street.
Oh, yes. Lift your stomach, Don. Here comes a bus. See you later. Come on, Mary. Say, Mary, have you got a cigarette?
Oh, sure, Jack. I have some right here. Oh, gee, I forgot to put them in my purse.
Well, here's a drugstore. I'll step in and get some.
Okay.
Oh, clerk.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you? Razor blades, shaving cream, Kleenex.
No. I'd like to buy some...
Magazines, aspirin, sunglasses, wife savers.
No. All I want is...
Alka-Seltzer, Tootsie Rolls, whiting paper.
I can't go into one store... Hold it, mister, hold it. As long as you're guessing and playing games, I'll give you a hint as to what I want. Now, what do you do that relaxes you and gives you pleasure?
I take off my girdle. What do you do?
Well, if you must know, I smoke a lucky strike.
Well, why didn't you say so? You want a pack of lucky strikes?
Yeah.
Here you are.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Wait a minute. Don't go yet.
Huh?
Aren't you going to open your pack of luckies here?
Well, if you want me to, certainly. There you are. Goodbye.
Not yet. Oh. Aren't you going to take out a wookie and tear it down the center?
But...
I make all my customers do it.
Well, okay. There.
See how the tobacco holds together? No loose ends. No room for air spaces. Hot spots that burn harsh and dry. Wookies are made from long strands of fresh, clean, good-tasting tobacco. That's why Wookie Strikes are my favorite brand.
Well, good. And thank you for showing me. Happy Weaster.
Jack, you got the cigarettes?
Yes. Come on, Mary. Let's keep walking.
Never saw such a lovely day. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's such fun just to nod and say Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
My, oh, me, there's so much to see as you stroll the avenue.
And you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Well, Mr. Kitzel. Mr. Kitzel, it's nice running into you today.
Unusual pleasure, Mr. Benny. And how are you, Miss Livingstone?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Mr. Kitzel, you certainly look nice in those striped pants, cutaway coat, and top hat.
Thank you.
It's just right for Easter.
Oh, thank you. But you know, I'm also wearing it for sentimental reasons.
Oh.
This is the suit in what I got married.
Oh, when you got married?
Yes.
See, that must have been about 20 years ago.
Yeah, funny how a little thing like that sticks with you.
Yes.
Oh, my, I'll never forget that ceremony. When they said, if anyone has any objection to this marriage, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah?
A voice from the back hollered, "Don't marry her."
Oh, my goodness, who was it?
Me, I'm a ventriloquist.
Oh, Mr. Kitzel, you're joking.
Unfortunately.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, it was a pleasure running into you on Easter, but we've got to be moving along.
Goodbye, Mr. Binney.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel.
Goodbye.
You know, Mary, it's always nice running into Mr. Kitzel. I don't know, he seems so cheerful.
He's Bunt. Bunt.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
Me?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mary. Yeah?
What are you doing?
We're just strolling along in the Easter parade.
How far you going?
To La Brea.
That's fine.
What?
You said you was going to La Brea, and I said that's fine.
Well, wait a minute. Aren't you going to try to talk me out of it?
Not me. This is my day off.
Oh.
Well, happy Easter.
Well, same to you. Same to you. Come on, Mary.
What happened?
Nothing. It's all right. We can go to La Brea. Come on.
Never saw such a lovely day. Happy Easter. It's such fun just to nod and say Happy Easter.
And you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Dinner!
Dennis.
Hello, Mary.
Hey, Dennis, you having a nice Easter?
Oh, sure. I colored Easter eggs all morning, and then I hid them.
Uh-huh.
And then I told my mother to go look for them.
Ooh, that must have been fun.
Oh, no, it was a mess. The eggs splattered all over my mother's new dress, her two nightgowns, and six of my father's shirts.
Well, Dennis, where'd you hide the eggs?
In the washing machine.
In the washing machine?
Yeah, it was awful.
Dennis, I don't understand this. Colored Easter eggs shouldn't splatter. How long did you boil them?
Oh, boil them!
Mary, you take them, will you? I'm still a little sick from Phil.
Dennis, Jack and I are walking down as far as La Brea. Would you like to join us?
Sure, I'm not stuck up.
Well, that's mighty decent of you. And by the way, Dennis, be sure you're not late for rehearsals for my television show.
I won't. And my mother said that it's okay for me to appear on your TV program, Sonny, if you give me proper credit at the end.
What do you mean, proper credit?
Well, at the end of the program, she wants you to say, Dennis Day may also be seen on his own television show. You may buy his latest recording, I Hear a Rhapsody, at all music stores. He will soon be seen in 20th Century Fox picture, The Girl Next Door, and take your judo lessons from Yamashita.
Dennis, who in the world is Yamashita?
Oh, that's my mother's business name.
Say, Dennis, while we're walking along, why don't you sing something?
Well, do you think it'll be all right? I mean, here on the street?
Well, sure. Everybody feels good today. It's Easter. They're all singing.
Okay.
Parade on the avenue. of you. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet. And now the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade on the Avenue, Fifth Avenue. The photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the Rotter Review. Oh, about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade.
Jack will be back in just a moment, but first...
Ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday night, immediately after my radio show, I will do my fifth television program of the season. My guest stars will be Dennis Day, Rochester, and one of the world's greatest violinists, Mr. Isaac Stern. I will also play a violin solo. That's funny. They told me there would be applause here. Oh, well, happy Easter, folks.
The Jack Benny program is brought to you by Lucky Strike, product of the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes. This is Don Wilson reminding you to listen to your hit parade with Guy Lombardo every Thursday night, presented by Lucky Strike. Consult your newspaper for time and station. The Jack Benny program has been selected as one of the programs to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately.
Transcribed, this is the CBS Radio Network.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that great sitcom. You're listening to the Jack Benny program episode, Jack and Mary Walk in the Easter Parade. That episode was first heard on Easter Sunday, April 13, 1952, on CBS. I tried my best to edit out the cigarette ads, but the ad in the middle was integrated into the script, so I couldn't remove it. I apologize to anybody who is offended by those old ads. Next up, we're going to play a Western series, something I've never done for Easter before. The series I speak of is A Six Shooter, which regular listeners of Old Part of the Radio should be familiar with. The series is a favorite of CFIS listener and volunteer Maurice, so I thought I would include it on my Easter program. The series was short-lived, running on NBC from September 30, 1953 until June 24, 1954. The series starred Jimmy Stewart as the title character. Today's program is titled Crisis at Easter Creek and was first heard at 8 p.m. on Thursday, April 15, 1954 on NBC. Enjoy.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of many fine programs brought to you each week on NBC. Tomorrow night, there's top comedy entertainment with the Bob Hope Show, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, and Can You Top This with Senator Ford. Bob Hope delivers rapid-fire comedy routines, while Phil Harris and Alice Faye bring both mirth and music. It's a great Friday night lineup of comedy programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle, unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
hadn't attended a Tuesday evening choir practice in quite a spell, but when Reverend Broome stopped by the Tropical Ranch where I was working and asked me if I could manage to take part in this week's rehearsal, well, I sure couldn't see how to do any harm, so I... Ringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing. Ringing in the sheaves. Anyhow, there we are, about 10 of us all gathered around at John Farley's general store, it was. You see, the town of Easter Creek didn't have a regular church building yet. They held their services and social affairs in the mercantile while they went ahead trying to raise money to put up a community church. It was during the second verse of Bringing in the Sheaves that things started sounding a little peculiar, sort of like the voices and the music were sort of traveling different trails. First, I thought it was me. I never have been exactly what you'd call melodious, but then the other folks were beginning to have their troubles, too. And holy smokes, it just was getting terrible. And finally, Mrs. Peebles, she was the organist, she just threw up her hands and stopped even trying to play.
No, no, Elvira.
Heaven knows I've tried. I've done my best. But this organ just won't play anymore.
Well, we'll have Mr. Farley take another look at it, Elvira. I'm sure you'll be able to get it back into shape.
There's nothing Mr. Farley can do. Or anybody else. It's plain wore out. You can't expect a thing to last forever.
Well, no, no, of course
not.
It
seems to me that after all this time, something could have been done about buying a new organ. When I donated this one to the congregation, I didn't suppose I'd have to go on playing it all the rest of my life. But apparently that's what's expected.
Now, now, there's no need to upset yourself, Elvira.
Well, I can't help being upset. I say I can't help it. How do you think I feel every Sunday? All those sour notes, and that wheezing and whining. Folks are beginning to think that it's me. That it's my plan.
Oh, no.
Well, I've been humiliated for the last time, and I won't go through it again.
But Elvira, we gotta have music for Easter service.
Music? Well, you certainly don't call that music, do you? Good night, Reverend Broome.
Oh, somebody get back. All right, everybody. Give me your attention, please. Attention, folks. Quiet down now, please. Quiet down. It appears that matters have come to a serious crisis. It's bad enough for a town by the name of Easter Creek not to have a proper building for Easter services. But to be without an organ and an organist. Well, it's a disgrace, a positive disgrace. Now, we mustn't blame Miss Peebles. That instrument has seen its best days, there's no doubt about it. So I propose that we take immediate steps to purchase a replacement.
Just one thing, Reverend Broome.
Yes, Sheriff.
Where's the money coming from?
Well, now I've given that matter serious thought, Sheriff Appleton, and there seems to be only one possible solution to the problem. We'll just have to borrow from the building fund.
Sort of like robbing Peter to pay Paul, isn't it?
No, no, not exactly, not exactly. Seeing as how we haven't reached our $1,000 goal anyway, well, the money's just sort of lying there.
I don't know about that.
Just how much do you figure a new organ will cost, Reverend Broome?
Well, I've done some investigating in the field, Mrs. Appleton. Last month, when Elvira's foot went through the pump pedal, it seemed like the situation was coming to head. Church over to Whitefield purchased a new organ just last Christmas, and they're willing to sell us their old one. It's used, of course, but it's still in excellent repair, and they're only asking $95.
No, I'm afraid that's a bit more than we can afford, Reverend.
Well, we must have at least $95 in the building fund. We've been putting money aside for the last year.
No, we ain't. We got $42.50. That's the total. Up to and including $3.65 in the cake bazaar a month ago.
$42.50?
Yep.
I just had no idea. I was...
We're shy over $50 from what it would take to buy the organ. And there just isn't any way we could raise it. Not between now and Easter.
Now. We mustn't give up. After all, we only need The $50?
$52.50.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Let's see. There was just someone who could take a firm grip of the situation. A man who... Mr. Ponson.
Yes, Reverend.
Mr. Ponson, I know you aren't a regular member of our congregation, and you've only been in our midst a few months. But...
Well, I sure be glad to donate what I can to the cause, Reverend, but I'm afraid it'd only be a drop in the bucket.
Oh, a donation wasn't exactly what I had in mind.
Oh?
I think perhaps you can be of more service in another fashion. Ladies and gentlemen... I propose that we appoint Britt Ponson, a committee of one, to take charge of the organ raising.
Oh, now, hold on a minute here, Reverend Broome.
We all know that you're a man of strength and determination, Mr. Ponson, that you inspire confidence, and we trust generosity.
Well, now, I'd sure like to oblige you folks, but what you're asking is just out of the question, that's all.
You wouldn't turn us down in our hour of need.
Oh, no, I'm not turning you down exactly. What I mean is, it just couldn't be done. Why, you've been a whole year raising $42.50, and now you're talking about raising over $50 in just a few days.
Well, we've been going at it the wrong way, Mr. Ponson.
What?
I'm sure your approach will be 100% more effective.
My approach?
Why, certainly. And just to show you how easy it'll be, we'll start things off by taking up a collection right now. Sheriff Appleton, will you pass the hat?
But,
all right, everybody. Dig down deep. It's a wonderful thing Mr. Ponsett's doing in taking over this fundraising campaign.
But I never said
and
a word.
And here's our chance to let him know how much we appreciate it.
Reverend. Well, the sheriff finished passing the hat and poured it out on the table, and Reverend Broome counted it. $2.50. And yet the Reverend was real pleased, too. He said that meant that I only had $50 to go. A nice round number. Well, not that I had any intention of taking this job of raising the money to get the new organ, you understand. I told the Reverend I couldn't do it. I told him just as plain as day that I couldn't do it. But somehow he got the idea that I had already agreed to do it. And no matter how hard I talked, he just kept... And the other folks, they were as bad as Reverend Broome. I was just outnumbered. That's all there was to it. So, early the next morning, I took my hat in my hand and started out. Must have been getting around noon when I finally came back to the sheriff's office.
Oh, come in, Bet. Come in.
Morning, Abner.
Oh. Well, how's everything going? You been out collecting?
Yeah, I've been collecting.
Well?
Well, $11. That's what I got so far.
Hey, $11, huh? That's remarkable, Britt. Simply remarkable.
But the trouble is, I've already asked everybody in town.
Uh-huh.
Except you, that is.
Oh. Oh, well, I suppose I could give you a dollar, but don't forget I was in on the collection at choir practice. You ain't serious, Britt. You don't mean you really ask everybody else.
As a matter of fact, there is one area I sort of skipped over.
Oh?
Well, those cabins over east of the creek and the ranches out that way. I haven't visited them yet.
Well, you'd just be wasting your time if you did.
I would, eh?
Yeah, those folks wouldn't be very anxious to help out a church. Mess of thieves, cattle rustlers, every other kind of riffraff.
Oh, is that what they are? Oh.
Oh, well, now, that's just a general sense of opinion. And of course, if I could know for certain that we had any actual outlaws living around Easter Creek, if I was positive, that is, well, it'd be my duty to arrest them.
I see. Uh-huh.
But the fact is, they ain't caused any trouble here in town, none of them. And I can't go around arresting people on rumors. Well, can I, Britt?
Hmm. Yeah. I understand Red Eye Kirk has a place somewhere east of town. Is that right?
That's hearsay, Brett. Pure and simple hearsay.
Oh, I see.
Why, you don't think I'd let a notorious gunfighter like Red Eye live right here under my nose, do you?
Well, it's too bad he's not in these parts.
Oh?
No, I was thinking I might like to pay him a little visit.
Well, what on earth for?
Well, as long as he's not in the neighborhood, I guess it doesn't matter. kind of a shame, though.
Well, now, if you're really anxious to... what I mean is... Well, but they do say there's a fellow who somewhat resembles Red Eye. He's got himself a cabin just this side of Deer Mountain.
Just this side of Deer Mountain, huh?
Wait a minute, Red. Wait a minute. What in Sunday do you want to get mixed up with Red Eye Kirk for? What's he got to do with raising money for a new organ?
Well, he probably won't have anything to do with it, but it's just that I don't want to leave any stones unturned, you see. So long, Abner. It was about a half hour's ride out to the cabin Sheriff Applin told me about. Not much of a cabin, though. Just a shack at the foot of Deer Mountain with a corral off one side. There sure were a lot of different brands on the horses in that corral. Well, I pulled up in the yard about 15 feet from the cabin door. For a minute, it didn't seem like there was anybody at home. And then I heard the door start to creak open. The barrel of a .45 poked into sight. The man behind it was tall, square-shouldered, and thick black beard, and kind of reddish eyes. Howdy.
What do you want, mister?
I'm looking for Red Eye Kirk.
Ain't nobody here by that name.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe you'll do, then.
What?
My name's Ponsett, Brett Ponsett.
Ponsett?
Now, hold on. I'll just take it easy with that gun.
Get him up. Get him up high.
Oh, sure. How's this?
You alone?
Yep, not alone.
You must be plumb crazy thinking you can take me single-handed.
No, I'm not interested in taking you, Red Eye.
I told you that ain't who I am.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yes, you did. Yes, that's right. You mind if I get off my horse?
Well, just don't try nothing, that's all. And don't move toward your holster.
Don't worry.
That's close enough.
Sure.
Now, what are you doing out here, anyway?
Well, the fact is, you see, what'd you say your name was?
Jones. Bill Jones.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Jones... I've been given the job of raising some money.
What?
Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't my idea. But since it was for such a good cause, I just couldn't turn the folks down.
Good cause?
A new church organ. That's what I'm collecting for.
What?
Now, you see, the one that Reverend Broom's congregation has been using, it sort of gave up the ghost last night. And what with Easter coming on,
joshing me, mister?
No. No, of course I'm not.
You mean you're out here trying to raise money so you can buy a church organ?
That's right.
Go on. Get moving before I take a shot at you.
You won't give me a hand, huh?
I wouldn't give you 5 cents for every church organ west of the Mississippi River.
Now, it wasn't your money I wanted.
What?
No. No, it wasn't that at all.
What the devil did you come around bothering me for?
Well, I was thinking that, you're a pretty influential man with some of the folks hereabouts.
And they'll toe the mark if I tell them to. You can bet on that.
Yeah, well, that's just the impression I got.
So what?
Well, it seemed to me that if I was to go moseying around these parts alone, some of your friends might not look too kindly on the idea of giving me donations.
They sure wouldn't.
But on the other hand, if we were to approach them together as a kind of a team, you might say.
A team?
That's the general idea, yeah.
You want me to go along with you?
I sure would appreciate it if you would.
And help you raise money for a church organ?
That's right.
Me taking up a Sunday school collection. Well, that's the doggondest notion anybody ever had. What do the boys think, huh? Jack Denton, Wisconsin Billy? Why, it'd be almost worth it just to see their faces. You sure got a sense of humor, Ponson. And you know something, this here crazy scheme of yours, I'm going to take you up on it.
You know something, Mr. Jones?
What?
You know something? I kind of thought you would.
You are listening to The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman whose name has become a legend throughout the great Southwest. And now, Act Two of the story called Crisis at Easter Creek.
Well, the first place we came to was a farmhouse about a quarter of a mile south of Red Eye's cabin. At least it had been a farmhouse once. And there sure wasn't any crops growing in the vicinity now. The porch sagged off at a slant, and the windows were stuffed full of papers and rags. Even the front door looked like it was about to slide off its hinges. The place really looked deserted, but Red Eye gave me the nod, and we pulled up and dismounted. Old Red Eye, he had a great big grin as wide as a full moon spread all over his face. Been there ever since we started off.
Hey, Denton! Get out here, Denton! It's me, Red Eye! Well, I guess you knowed who I was anyway, didn't you?
Well, I had a pretty good idea.
Howdy, Red Eye. What can I do for you?
Denton, this here's Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett?
Howdy, Denton.
Now, don't you worry, Red Eye. Even if he did get the draw on you, he ain't turning you over to no sheriff.
Oh, put your gun away, Denton.
Huh?
Use your eyes. Ponsett ain't covered me, is he?
Then, what are you doing riding along with him?
Well, we got us a little project. You explain it to him, Ponsett.
Well, the fact is, we're collecting money to buy a new organ for Reverend Broome.
What?
That's right, Jack.
Oh. Sound to me like you said money for a new organ. I must be getting loco.
I sure ain't gonna argue that with you, Denton. Well, come on. Come on, fork over.
You mean you're serious, Red Eye?
Of course I'm serious.
And he must be holding a gun on you.
I ain't got all day, Denton. How much we need, Britt?
Well, let's see, $38.
Well, you heard him. Denton?
Sure. Just let me look in my purse here. $220 gold pieces. How's that?
Well, I didn't mean that you had to contribute the whole thing.
Just keep the change.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
My pleasure entirely. Was there anything else, Red Eye?
No. I guess that'll do it for now. Let's go, Ponsett.
Yeah, sure. Easy, boy.
I'm glad you boys stopped by. Anytime I can... Well, you know where to find me.
Now, we'll stop at Mike Morgan's place next. That's just down the road.
Well, that's mighty considerate of you, Red Eye, but we don't need to make another stop.
What? Well, what are you talking about?
Well, $38, that's all we needed, you see.
Oh.
See, the organ's all paid for now.
Well, there must be something else the Reverend needs money for, ain't it?
Oh, I suppose.
Well, doggone it, Ponson. I'm enjoying myself. And besides, it wouldn't be fair to the rest of the boys if Denton was the only one who got a chance to do a little contributing to charity. The least we can do is stop at Mike Morgan's, since how we're so close.
I said, well, whatever you say. Whatever you say, Red Eye. Well, we made about 8 more stops before evening, and I must say that all of Red Eye's friends are mighty generous. I even had to turn down the offer of a couple of cows for the cause, seeing as how there was some doubt as to the legal owner of the stock in question. But the gold and the silver and the paper money, well, there just wasn't any way of telling how that was come by. At least, wasn't any way I could think of. So by sundown, I was carrying quite a load of cash. And we were riding away from Slick Wilson's place when Red Eye gave a little sigh and looked at me sort of disappointed.
Well, guess I better head back home now.
Sure, Red Eye, sure.
What's the matter?
I was just thinking about how Mike Morgan tripped over his shotgun when I told him what it was we wanted.
Nearly
blowed himself right over the bar.
Yeah, it's kind of a close call, wasn't it?
Doggone it, I don't see why Wisconsin Billy wasn't at home. Well, he'd have been fit to be tied.
Well, we did all right without him.
Say, it's a Brit. Oh, why don't you come back tomorrow, huh?
Oh, no.
He'll probably be around then.
Oh, no, thanks, Red Eye. I got a whole lot more than I ever expected. And I sure do appreciate your assistance.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. Well, good luck.
Same to you, Red Eye. It was about an hour's ride back to town, but before I'd gone more than halfway, I got the feeling there was somebody following me. I sure didn't like it either. Not with all this money I had in the saddlebags. You know, I gave Scar a little touch of the spur. Come on, boy. Come on, let's go. When I heard the other horse pounding up the trail after me, let's go, boy. Come on, let's go. His first shot was over my head, but there wasn't any point in trying to outrun him, Scar being as tired as he was. So I slid out of the saddle and I rolled over behind a rock. He was still coming, so I eased my gun out of the holster and inched up to get a look at him. He was a big fella, holding his revolver loose in his hand like he didn't figure on using it. Well, I didn't figure on letting him rob me either. I waited until he was about even with the rock where I was hiding. Then I stood up.
Drop it! Drop it!
Okay, take it easy, Ponset.
Why, you know who I am, huh?
Red Eye told me you was heading this way. I've been trying to catch up with you for the last 15 minutes.
You mean Red Eye sent you after me?
I'll say he did.
Well, I'll be darned. I thought I had him figured different. Now, I suppose he told you about the money, too.
Sure, here's mine.
Hmm?
My share. Catch.
What? Your share?
Plymouth Church organ. Name's Wisconsin Billy. I was out when you come by to collect this afternoon.
Oh.
Then I wanted to make certain you got my donation.
Oh, I see.
Now, do you mind handing me my gun?
You got it? No, not a bit. Here you are.
Thanks. Well, so long, Ponset.
Oh, yes, so long there.
I simply can't believe it, Mr. Ponset. There must be over $1,000 here.
Just about, Reverend, just about.
Enough for the organ, enough to build a church, too.
Yeah? Well.
Mr. Ponset.
Yeah?
Now, you mustn't think me ungrateful, but I'm afraid we can't accept this money.
What?
Well, you see, Sheriff Appleton told me where you got it.
He did, huh?
Now, mind you, I don't have any objections myself. I think when help is offered, it should be accepted, irregardless of the source. But some of my people, they aren't quite so broad-minded. And the idea of permitting Red Eye Kirk and those other outlaws to donate to our fund, well...
Now, just hold on a minute, Reverend Broome. Now, just hold on. Now, when I was talking to Sheriff Appleton earlier today, he claimed that there weren't any outlaws in the vicinity of Easter Creek.
Well, we don't like to admit that our town is a haven.
The sheriff said that if there were any bandits around here, it was his duty to arrest them. Of course, that would mean getting a posse together. It would probably mean a lot of shooting and killing.
Well, Mr. Ponson, everybody knows it. I mean, it's common knowledge.
And as for Red Eye Kirk ever having anything to do with that money I raised, well, you could be mistaken, Reverend.
But you were seen riding along. Well, it looked like Red Eye.
Didn't Sheriff Applin ever tell you about the fellow that lives out near Deer Mountain who's supposed to be the spitting image of Red Eye Kirk? Didn't he ever tell you about that?
Mr. Ponson.
No, even if some of those fellows on the other side of the creek are sort of outside the law. Now, I'm not saying they are, mind you, but Even so, you know, accusing them of being criminals, it might stir up a whole lot of trouble.
Well, that's true, of course.
And besides, Sheriff Applin says they're law-abiding citizens. And he's your duly elected sheriff. He sure ought to know. Hmm? Well, night, Reverend. I'll see you in church. Well, I guess there was a little argument about whether or not to accept the money, but Sheriff Appleton finally convinced folks that they didn't have any right to turn him down. So, by the following Sunday, Easter, the congregation had a new organ. And the service was real well attended, too. Now, some of the folks didn't look like regular churchgoers. But Red Eye, Mr. Jones, he explained to me afterwards that he and his friends just wanted to make sure their contributions had been put to a good use. I don't know if they've been back since, but you never can tell, you know. Reverend Broome preached a real fine sermon that morning.
Transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Marvin Miller, Ted DeCorsia, Robert Griffin, and Red Eye Kirk. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Well, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Play Truth or Consequences with Ralph Edwards on the NBC Radio Network.
It's always nice when an Easter story has a happy ending, and it warmed my heart when the story ended with the fine folks of Easter Creek getting their new church organ. You just heard Crisis at Easter Creek, which was from the series The Six Shooter. This episode was first heard on Thursday, April 15, 1954, on NBC, just 3 days before Easter Sunday. I'm afraid we're almost out of time. If you'd like to send me any feedback or special requests, please email me at Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com. You may also write to me at Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week and happy Easter. Thank you.